You're listening to the October 21st edition of Cheesehead Radio, Farvageddon 3, for those about to crock. Tonight's guest bloggers are Nathan and Austin from Bitter Border Battle.
This is Max Ginsburg, Purple Pants, GreenJersey.com, and you're listening to the best Packer talk around on Cheesehead Radio.
Reach the eye.
Intercepted! Battle for the football, Tramon Williams, and he won it! Jennings has got the set, and Jennings will take it all the way. Touchdown, Packers! Do it himself. Touchdown, Packers!
So we just got to figure out how to convert those third downs, and we all got to play a little bit better.
And question yourself about a lot of things, you know.
It just looked like we're putting along. Like, we're in a car, and we'll hit the accelerator, and then we run out of gas.
You could ask me 20 different ways, okay? I'm going to give you the same answer.
I mean, when you're better than, you know, the teams you're playing, and you're letting the guys just stay in the game. And
that's all I'm saying about that.
That's interesting. You know what makes me sad?
You do! Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Cheesehead Radio.
Tissue? All right, baby.
Good evening, Packer fans, and welcome to the Thursday Night Place, where we're cooking up something green and gold, Cheesehead Radio. Tonight we'll be talking about the loss to the Dolphins. Welcome back some familiar names. And get you ready for Farvageddon 3, Return of the Crocs. In the second half of the show, we'll be joined by Austin and Nathan, the brains behind the outstanding site, Bitter Border Battle. I am John Rehor from Green Bay Packer Nation, and I am joined by my esteemed panel of co-hosts, going from left to right. From Jersey Al's blog, we have Jersey Al. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, John. How are you?
I am fabulous.
Excellent. I'm ready to go, like Brett Favre in an empty hotel room.
Ooh.
Ouch. Next. From Thundervision, we have CD Angeli. CD.
How you doing tonight, John? Good to be here, and it's fantabulous. Lombardi is opening up on Broadway, and out here in little old Wisconsin, we have Brent Favre, the musical, opening. I think that's going to be almost as good, but not quite.
We'll take it to Broadway.
Might be
and from
Broadway.
Brent Favre, I'm sorry, and from Brent Favre and the other 31, Holly Phelps. Holly, good evening.
Good evening, guys.
I think there's
Holly?
One place we're not going to Mamby Pamby Land tonight. I think that's a definite.
Jack Wagon. Anyway. Well, plenty of stuff
intro
to get to here. Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, that's me attempting to be creative. But let's get on to our Packer news tonight.
Cheesehead Radio brings you this week's Packer News.
Hang on, Packer fans, the cavalry is coming. Al Harris, Atari Bigby, and James Starks are all unleashed pups this week, ready to frolic and play on the green grass of Lambeau Field. While Starks is unlikely to offer any immediate help, Harris and Bigby are both eager to get on the field, with Harris having the better chance of contributing on Sunday.
And not only are the pups available to play, but the Packers should have a few of the 22 players on their injury report back. Clay Matthews, Ryan Pickett, Mark Tauscher, and Brandon Schiller all practiced on Wednesday. Nick Collins, Donald Driver, and A.J. Hawk were held out of practice as a precaution, but figure to be ready for the game. Mike Neal and Brady Papinga, however, have already been ruled out for Sunday night.
Well, speaking of Sunday night, this is the week many of us have been waiting for. The old war horse puts on the saddle one more time and returns to his old stomping grounds, otherwise known as Lambeau Field. Personally, I've long had this game marked on the calendar as the first real test of the Packers' Super Bowl worthiness in 2010. Little did I expect that both teams would come into this game struggling to prove they even belong in the discussion.
Yeah, that Super Bowl or die talk certainly has calmed down in the last 2 weeks. With the next four games against the Vikings, the Jets, the Cowboys, and then the Vikings again, 2-2 might be an optimistic score for that stretch. But as long as they can keep the injury bug behind them at the same time, that wouldn't be an insurmountable outcome. And at 5-5, there would still be 6 games left to make a playoff run. If they're not able to make it from there, then they just don't deserve to.
And deservedly or not, Mike McCarthy has come under quite a bit of fire this week from fans and Packer beat writers as well. Greg Bedard questions the lack of adjustments when his game plan is not working. Bob McGinn wonders about McCarthy's ability to guide his team to wins in close games. And Bill Huber thinks he's been too loyal to Sean Slocum and James Campen. Personally, I agree with all of them.
And it wouldn't be a normal week in Packer Nation without at least one big piece of bad news. The Packers lost yet another key contributor this week when JerMichael Finley was put on season-ending injured reserve. After considering a possible late-season return for Finley, the Packers decided to not take any chances with his long-term health and instead will let his knee heal fully.
And those were the top stories of the week. Cheesehead Radio now brings you news from the Packers Twitterverse.
This week in the Packers Twitterverse.
Well, when the NFL doled out some big fines this week for several vicious hits over the weekend, at least one Packer player didn't like it. Not surprisingly, it was Packers linebacker Nick Barnett, who immediately tweeted, "No big hits? What sport are we playing now?" He later followed that up with, "Okay, if we crack down on hard hits, we should crack down on cut blocks. Cut blocks have taken out more players than head hits, I'm sure."
And Will Blackman displayed some selflessness and honesty this week about the Packers' acquisition of safety Anthony Smith. "It's a good move," tweeted Blackman, "because he's a very good player." Now, considering Smith could potentially block a return by Blackman back to the Packers, I found it pretty interesting for him to say that.
Well, plus he took Blackman's old number, 27.
That's right.
Yeah. But after JerMichael Finley had his knee surgery, he has been getting pretty bored, lying around. One day he tweeted, "I think it's about time to take a trip." And Pride of Cucamonga tweeted back, "Put the mushrooms down, my friend."
Different kind of trip, of course. But speaking of trips, our last tweet tonight is from Greg Bedard, who will be leaving Green Bay on Monday for his new job with the Boston Globe. Greg has always shown an uncanny ability to distill an issue down to its most salient point. In a Twitter discussion about the struggles of the Packers' offense, Greg ended the conversation with this tweet: "If McCarthy would call a more balanced game, or even close to one, defenses would play them more honest, period." Well, I think that's perfect, Greg. And we're going to miss you, but to send you off in proper style, I'm awarding you the Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
Only fitting.
Very much so. Do you guys get the feeling that watching JerMichael Finley's Twitter account over his rehab is going to be kind of like watching a reality show? What goes on in that man's mind, I'll tell you. Whatever goes in that head is on his Twitter. It's just hysterical. And his wife is almost as good.
Yeah.
And with all this free time now to think of all this stuff.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Yep.
No more waxing.
10 times worse.
I don't want to hear about any more waxing.
Yeah.
God knows what else he's going to be waxing now.
Well, I'm going to take this week's cheese curds, and believe it or not, I'm going to direct it at Mike McCarthy. Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Now, Mike McCarthy could do with a lesson in relativity, especially as it relates to his offense. Now, I know the Packers are mired with injuries, but let's not doubt for a second that the signs of our offensive struggles came long before JerMichael Finley was injured. Aaron Rodgers was stumping for him to go back in the shotgun more and more and pass to JerMichael as a solution to the offensive woes that were already happening. Now, Aaron Rodgers has an efficiency rating right now about the same as Seneca Wallace. This is not what we expect from an MVP player. And the number of our attempts of rushes per game is about the same as Detroit and Carolina's. The Packers have only one drive this season of over 7 minutes. It's impatience. It's the defense is on the field so much more than they need to be. And of the three drives they've had in overtime, almost all of it was done out of the shotgun, and they've netted a grand total of negative 12 yards. Now, last year, this is where we see this whole insanity thing. Rodgers was getting sacked relentlessly. He was on pace to break the NFL record for most sacks after the Tampa game. But Mike McCarthy changed. He proved that if he wasn't at least sane, he was at least lucid. And he made a couple of changes where he took Rodgers and said, you know what, instead of having you back in the shotgun all the time, we're going to take some quick snaps, quick hitters, and it changed the tone of the entire season. Now, there's a lot of other things that happened, too. Special teams got better. Penalties got better. And just like this week, injuries, people coming back from injuries could help us out a lot. But Einstein tells us, basically, it's the opposite of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it is broke, you're crazy not to change. We know that the running game needs to be addressed, and even the loudest Super Bowl teams don't need a running game advocates have gone pretty quiet. But as the Packers continue to come out of shotgun formation, spread wide, even when they're ahead, a long-time indicator of a McCarthy offense, passing when ahead or when a critical long drive is needed, the more they're just not having it show up on the scoreboard, and it's not showing up in the record. The Viking game is a watershed game, just like last year's Tampa game. It's a beatable team. But we've been playing teams that are beatable for the last several weeks, and we're 1-3 in the last four games. The question is now, is McCarthy sane? Is he going to change what's happening or continue to go back and do the same things? He always talks about going back, looking at the film, making adjustments. The adjustments are pretty easy, and we can all see it. You have to look at what you have in your lineup, and you have to go with what works. I'll finish up with another quote from Albert Einstein. A man should look for what is, not for what he thinks should be. And that's my cheese curds for the week.
Wow, all the Einstein references.
Very well, nice. I got to find someone smarter than me to quote.
Well, I'm with you 100% on this one, that's for sure.
Well, thank you. Holly, how are we doing for extra points? You all set?
I'm ready to go.
Excellent. Let's do it.
Cheese Head Radio brings you extra points of contention.
Welcome to our weekly debate on issues in the Packer universe that we tend to divide on. Not that there's anything that we're dividing on lately. Two of our bloggers are going to weigh in on an issue, and the third will break the tie. I'm your host as we go through this week's extra points of contention. Are you guys ready?
Ready to go.
Ready to go.
Oh. Extra point of contention number one. Corliss and Crabtree showed enough against the Dolphins that the Packers will be okay at tight end for the rest of the season. Who's got a touchdown on this one?
Well, I'm going to take the touchdown. And, yes, it is still a touchdown, but it looks a lot like that 23-yard pass from Sean Hill to Calvin Johnson in week one that really, really looked like a touchdown until the officials made a controversial call to overturn it. Look, nobody's going to replace JerMichael Finley in the Packers offense. You know that every defensive coordinator slept better the night after Finley was put on IR. But going into the season, the Packers had an embarrassment of riches at this position, and it's going to pay off as the season wears on. You saw in the Miami game what Tom Crabtree is capable of. His 33-yard catch on the seam route was a big-time play, and the guys he beat, Carlos Dansby and Chris Clemens, are big-time players. That catch extended the drive and allowed the Packers to put points on the board. Andrew Corliss has already looked like a little mini Finley, and his clutch 23-yard catch to convert a 3rd-and-13 is exactly the type of play that 88 would make. Now, maybe Finley would have gotten 40 yards instead of 23, but it's still a first down, and that's progress. The Packers will miss Finley terribly, but you got to remember, Crabtree and Corliss are rookies, and they're both going to continue to improve. They're already making clutch plays, and they'll make more in weeks to come. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all we can ask for out of tight end position.
All right. Holly, thank you. I feel reassured already. Who's going to disagree with her?
Well, I believe John was, but I think he got disconnected.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you see him there, CD?
I do. John, are you there?
I am back.
Hey, John,
no,
how are you?
Just in time.
Perfect.
The power of my argument.
I know.
Scared him right off.
The power of
I was there. I was just going to hang up and be done with the show, but you know what? I don't think so. I think I'll take that interception. So, between the two of them against Miami, they had two catches for 55 yards. And, you know, I liked the catch by Crabtree. I thought showed some promise. However, I have always been a believer that the tight end who can catch is a bonus. And the reason that Finley was successful was because he was an unblockable, uncoverable kind of target. And I don't see that with these two. Yet. We're asking two rookies to pick up the slack of a probable Pro Bowler. I believe Finley was on target for a 12 to 1,300-yard season. So I don't really think the rookies are going to be able to do that. They don't have the in-game experience that Finley had, number one. Number two, when it comes to just actually blocking. How are they going to go against Jared Allen? I know he's been the invisible man this year. But are they going to be able to chip him and prevent Rodgers from getting his head taken off? I understand that it's 2010, not 2009, but it's a pretty tall task for a rookie to ask to block someone like that. Most importantly, neither one of them are a dynamic talent like Finley. Not yet. So I got to take this interception.
Okay. Now I'm depressed. So Holly makes me feel good. John makes me feel bad about this whole tight end thing. Al, tell me how it's going to be.
Well, sorry, John. Holly's driving this train, and I'm all aboard. Having watched Corliss at Penn State for the last 4 years, I can tell you he is fast, can run good routes, and has excellent hands. His actual biggest problem is catching the ball when he's wide open because he always seems to try to run before looking the ball in, but the coaches will help him with that. Crabtree's already shown to be a good blocker, and he surprised me with his athleticism on that catch and run in the Dolphin game. Now, neither can approach Finley's level right now, but the question was, will the Packers be okay? I think with these two and the veteran presence of Donald Lee, the Packers will get by a tight end, and there are a lot more other pressing concerns for the Packers.
All right. Well, I feel better about the tight end position. Thank you. And Holly takes an early lead in the extra points contention. Let's move on to number two. And I like this one. This is going to be an interesting one. Charles Woodson, reigning defensive player of the year right now. Right now, Tremont Williams is a better cornerback than Charles Woodson. Who's got a touchdown for that?
I'm going to take that.
Booyah.
I will take the touchdown because last year, after Al Harris went down and Tremont became a full-time starter, we joked that his nickname was Admiral Armbar for his sometimes flagrant methods of defending passes. By the end of the season, both he and Charles Woodson each racked up multiple PI calls that were very costly for the Packers. But in 2010, Williams is still being thrown at more than Woodson, still being targeted more than Woodson, but he's stepping up in a big way. He's knocked down 8 passes and picked off 2, and heck, he's even got a sack for his efforts. But the biggest number here is 0. 0 charged penalties on Williams thus far. Woodson has 9, 5 in the last 2 games alone. Yes, Woodson has more tackles and stops, but penalties at key points of the game keep the defense on the field, and give the offense new life. He's been late reacting to plays, and his coverage hasn't been so much as a blanket as a knitted afghan. Sure, it's strong, but it's got holes. We've started to see Williams covering the number one receivers, like Brandon Marshall and Santana Moss, and that is no surprise. You put your best corner on the best receiver, and right now, that's Tremont Williams.
Holly, bringing it tonight. My wife just asked me,
wow,
what jersey do I want for Christmas? I think I'm going to get Tremont. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a good
well,
bet.
I don't think anyone could disagree with that. Yeah. Who's going to disagree
well,
with that?
I'm going to try to disagree with that. I'll take the interception on this one. And I might as well make it a Charles Woodson pick six. As good as Tremont Williams has played this year, it's going to take him a few more years of the same before he can be compared to Charles Woodson. Now, I've said several times this season that I think Williams is playing at a near Pro Bowl level, so I have no qualms with Williams. But why are we picking on Charles Woodson? Because he's not going to be Defensive Player of the Year 2 years in a row? Do you know how many players have done that? One, Lawrence Taylor. Watching Woodson last week, it was evident to me that he's hurting more than any of us probably know. He was a little slow to react at times, and I'm pretty sure that's due to not being able to push off that bad toe. I'm not worried about Charles Woodson, and no, Tremont's not quite on the same level yet.
Oh, strong words from Jersey Al. John Rahor, it is going to be up to you to decide who wins this battle.
Decisions, decisions. Well, I think the key word here is cornerback. Woodson, dynamic.
I believe John is traveling through a wind tunnel.
John?
Yep, hi. Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you just kind
there
of...
There we go.
Go ahead.
There.
Start over.
All right. The key word is cornerback. Woodson is a dynamic athlete, football player. He can play anywhere on the field. He can play up at the line against the run. He can play deep in coverage. He's even been known to play safety. He can blitz. He can tackle. He can disrupt offensive schemes. He's the man. However, seems to be doing a little bit too much grabbing for my taste nowadays. 9 penalties versus 0. It just doesn't lie. He's not getting the calls that a vet should be getting, and unfortunately, it's costing the Packers. Now, Williams, on the other hand, is getting thrown at and doing more than his fair share to defend the best receiver, second best receiver, depending upon who, you know, they decide to put up against him. I'm not sure what clicked. You know, I mean, he is a 4-year starter, you know, depending upon if you look at Nickel as a starter. I usually do. And he's shut down everyone. In the preseason, I said he was the secret to the defense, and he has not let us down. I am taking the touchdown, and I will say,
ooh,
in agreement, get this guy signed before he hits the market. He is the future at cornerback for this team. Get him signed up long term.
Wow. So, according to Cheesehead Radio, Tremont Williams greater than Charles Woodson. Excellent.
One thing I will say, I got to say about Tremont last week, is that he should have had a call in his favor on the first pass that where he was covering Brandon Marshall. It was a 13-yard pass, and Marshall threw him down, but he didn't get it. And so he didn't press for the rest of the game. And so I think that Woodson might have gotten that call. But Williams,
you might have. Or he might have gotten called for holding, the way it's been lately.
That's true.
Let's move on to number 3. This is another interesting one. Brian Bulaga struggled mightily against the Dolphins, giving up quite a number of rushes. What was the linebacker's name that got back there?
Cameron Wake.
Wake, yeah. Wake. I was gonna say, yeah, just was right in Aaron Rodgers' lap. Brian Bulaga, should we sit him down? T.J. Lang maybe needs a chance in there. Basically what we're saying is the Packers should substitute T.J. Lang for Brian Bulaga for right now at right tackle. Who's got the touchdown on that one?
I'm going to jump in. I'll take the touchdown. I like Lang. I'm not really sure why I like him. He helped solidify the line last year. He's a good young talent. He's got a cool name. I really don't know what it is about TJ Lang. I just like him. And I was not happy when he missed basically off training camp. I thought that he would have been able to compete with Tauscher if I tackled to potentially start. At the same time, I was not happy that Bulaga was not a starter to begin the season in place of maybe Darren College, a left guard. I don't know what it is about College. I hate him. I don't know why. I just do. I would prefer Bulaga start on the left side. If he starts at left guard, I'd be fine. I think Lang has a chance to develop into the right tackle of the future. And if you put Bulaga penciled in as a left tackle of the future, then your corners are set for a while. The other thing is Bulaga is a rookie, and I'm not saying that TJ has all the experience in the world with that one extra year, but he does have one extra year. And what I would do is put Lang back at right tackle, where he belongs. I still think Bulaga needs to be on the line somewhere, and I don't think it's at right tackle.
All right. Strong words from John. TJ Lang, upsetting our first-round draft pick. Who thinks John is all wet on this one?
I'll take the interception on this one, CB.
All right.
For me, this would be like watching Tim Matstay fumble a snap, pick it up, attempt to throw a pass, have it picked off and return for a touchdown. All we could do is ask, why? Despite the stats, Brian Bulaga played fairly well against the Dolphins. I can only see one sack that could be called his fault. Rodgers did none of his linemen any favors by being so jittery and bailing out of the pocket so soon. On at least two occasions, Rodgers went right to the spot where Bulaga was taking his man. If Rodgers had just held his ground and gotten rid of the ball, it would have been no problem. And what exactly has TJ Lang shown us to think he's a better option? It took him a long time to recover from his injury, and the guy has hardly sniffed the field this season, except to take a few snaps at defensive line last game, of all things. Why do we suppose that is? Because he hasn't shown the coaches very much. I rate Lang as a big disappointment this season, and he's done nothing to move ahead of Bulaga.
All right. More strong words from Jersey Al. Holly, it comes down to you. Are you a Lang fan or a Bulaga fan?
You know, I don't think it matters. I think, you know, Shoddy, Michael Shoddy, who writes for the Lions on Twitter, he had a really great statement about this because the Lions' offensive line isn't great shakes either. And basically his argument was, you find the guys that you think you can go with, and then you move forward with them. You let them struggle, you let them gain consistency, but you give them a chance. And I think that that's where we are. It's about consistency. It's about finding cohesion on the offensive line. Why, in God's name, would you disrupt the apple cart when you're going to play one of the toughest front seven? I don't see a reason to do that. Bulaga has started the last two games at right tackle. I see no reason to sit him down going into the Minnesota Viking game. None. This is an interception for me.
All right. Well, I'm going over the score sheet here, guys. John?
That was very clever by Holly there, by the way. By taking the interception, she secures her own victory, by the way.
Well, absolutely. John, 0-2 this week. Al, 1-1. And finishing 2-0 this week.
Holly, where's the crown?
Holly.
Get the golden cheesehead hat to wear for the rest of the show.
Oh, it's so pretty.
Yeah. And it's your color. I like that. Very nice.
Oh, well, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you guys for agreeing with me. It's always nice.
It's only because I was
okay.
This week.
We don't need an acceptance speech now. Come on.
Oh, fine.
Like to thank the Academy. Anyway, Well, now that you got your hat on, Holly, are you ready to do an opposition research minute?
Absolutely. Let's go.
Let's do it.
And now, this week's opposition research minute.
Well, I was just talking about cohesion on the offensive line, and that cohesiveness is exactly the Achilles heel of the Minnesota Vikings. The offense is riddled with Pro Bowlers and elite players, but without solid play on the line, neither the running game nor the passing game has really gotten into a solid rhythm. They just don't look like an elite team. Brett Favre hasn't looked like a Hall of Famer, but then he didn't really look like the quarterback who would slice up the Packers for 7 touchdowns in 2 games before entering the first Favre-ageddon either. Off-the-field controversies aside, Favre has the tools and the weapons to light up a defense at Lambeau one last time. The Packers must start by stopping Adrian Peterson, who will wear down a Packers line that will still sorely miss Mike Neal. In the passing game, Randy Moss is not a perfect substitute for Sidney Rice. He's still learning the offense, and even if there's no one he's abused for more yards and more scores than Green Bay, he won't be the most dangerous player on the field. While the Packers cover Randy deep, the middle of the field will be as wide open as a yawning mouth for Percy Harvin and Bisante Shanko. Both as a receiver and on kickoff returns, Harvin is slippery after the catch. And if they play, Harvin's speed may show just how rusty Al Harris and Atari Bigby truly are. On defense, the Vikings front seven is a deep and punishing crew that has played at a high level for several years. Sure, the Williams wall is tough, and yeah, Jared Allen had 7.5 sacks last year, but the guy to fear is Ray Edwards. He's playing for a new contract, and it shows. After allowing 5 sacks to Miami last week, and without a really threatening running game, the Packers' offense may struggle to get the ball out to perimeter players. And once in the secondary, the Packers don't seem to get much of a respite. While the Vikes don't have the best secondary in the league, the DBs did get a little extra coaching from Favre on tendencies of the Packers' receivers. Antoine Winfield is finally healthy, but Cedric Griffin is lost for the season. Look for the Packers to target his replacement, rookie Chris Cook. There is an enormous psychological advantage to forcing a hated divisional rival to 4 losses before November. And crazy as it sounds, the Vikings need a win to keep their season afloat. There might not be anything sweeter in Minnesota than for that win to come at Lambeau on Sunday.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. Both teams are definitely looking for a much-needed win this week. It's going to be...
It is a must-win.
Hey, who's going to be at the game? Right? Who's going to be at the game? Oh, that's me. I'm so excited.
Well, not me.
I'm really excited about that. It's going to be a long day at work. A long day at work on Monday, but that's going to be a good one. Hey, we got a couple of guys here who I think could probably give us some good information on the Vikings, too. We have Austin and Nathan from Bitter Border Battle.
Cheesehead Radio, Blogger of the Week.
I don't think I've ever expected to say these words all together one time, but the Bitter Border Battle Boys are with us. How you doing,
guys? I love alliteration.
We're doing good.
Doing good.
Welcome, welcome.
Evening.
Excellent. So, Bitter Border Battle, how did you guys get started with that website? It looks like you emphasize mostly Vikings and Packers, but you pull in a lot of Bears and Lions, too.
You want me to go ahead and start, Nathan?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, well, I guess basically the way we got it started was last year during the NFC Championship game when the Vikings were playing the Saints and they lost, and I had wrote a thing on my Facebook page just talking about how as much as I hate Brett Favre right now, as much as I want him to retire, that way I can love him again, you know. I had been a huge fan of Cheesehead TV, just always, you know, I hardly ever commented on the page, but I always read it every day as a thing to do. And in the meantime, Nathan had he also had a a blog of his own. It was kind of a Brett Favre blog because he's, for some reason, he is a Brett Favre fan still. But with that, you know, we just got together. We decided, hey, why don't we just start our own blog together? And ever since then, it's just kind of snowballed from there. And it's been a real, it's been a fun ride so far.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess I don't have too much more to add to that. We talked about it back then. We kind of didn't talk about it through the spring, and then towards the end of the summer, we kind of talked about it again. And within a week or so, we had some stuff put up and started getting going. And the reason we kind of emphasize on the Vikings Packers is because that's kind of where we started, and then we decided, you know, we would expand out a little bit. A lot of people feel that the Packers-Bears rivalry is one of the better rivalries, so figured we might as well add in the other two teams. The Lions don't really matter, but...
They will in the future, though.
That could be.
I'm convinced of that in a couple of years. Well, I think it was a good move to do the whole NFC North, give yourself a lot more options, and, like you said, talk about a lot of different rivalries.
Yeah, it's definitely a division that has plenty of storylines, if nothing else. So there's never a lack of material, that's for sure.
Yep, long history there.
Do you get a lot of feedback from Viking fans?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, last week, before they won their game last week, it was just kind of crickets, you know. but as soon as they won that game, all the regular bloggers all the regular commenters were back. But that's just kind of how it goes. The Packers fans at least stick around even when we're losing.
Mm-hmm. Viking fans are kind of like that sometimes. It's kind of in and out.
Very fair weather fans, that's for sure.
No doubt. So, what are you thinking about now with this whole Favre to Moss thing? I'm definitely interested in how you guys feel about this. Especially, not just Favre to Moss, but coming to Lambeau, the storylines could be fantastic if these teams were winning. But what's your thoughts on that?
I guess I'll start. I think that Moss to the Vikings, I mean, it's exactly opposite of what the Packers have done. The Vikings realized they had a problem and went to address it at least, whereas the Packers have kind of sat back and hoped that something happened. But as far as the storylines go, I mean, you couldn't even talk about them all in a night. Randy Moss coming back, you know, you got the Moon and all the other games that he's had against them. Brett Favre's obviously coming back for his supposedly last game ever in Lambeau Field, and, you know, with the whole sexting stuff and everything, there's just, it's going to be fun. Austin and I are actually going to be in Green Bay this weekend. I don't think we're going to be able to afford the game, but tailgating is a definite, and drinking while watching the game somewhere, probably a sports bar or something, will still be pretty fun, I think.
Excellent. You guys have any questions? Or the Bitter Border Boys.
You just stole mine, CB, but anyway.
I'm sorry.
And mine.
Oh, I did. Well, I guess we all have the same question.
How many of you guys are gonna be at the game this weekend?
I will be
just one.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be there. I have tickets for the game. My father-in-law won tickets because he put in for the Brown County. He was hoping to get Cowboy tickets, so he ended up with the tickets for a game he already had tickets for, so he asked me and my wife if we would like to go, and we said, yeah, I think we could swing that. That'd be fun.
That shouldn't be a bad time.
No. And there's always something special about a night game, too, so that should be a good time. So which one of you is the Favre fan now?
Nathan, that's me. I'm the Brett Favre fan. I never saw another quarterback play for the Packers from the time I grew up until, you know, the Aaron Rodgers era. And when he first was talking about wanting to go to the Vikings and they were going to trade him, I was, you know, against that. I didn't like that idea. He went and played a year in New York, obviously, and then, you know, I was kind of having Brett Favre withdrawal, so I was happy to see him come back. So I guess I followed him to the Vikings. I still still cheer for both teams. I think, though, it gives me more of a equal perspective on how I look at both teams rather than, you know, kind of being a homer on one side or the other, you know. So I guess in that way it helps, especially with the site that we're trying to run.
You never saw another quarterback besides Favre and Rodgers for the Packers? You never went through the Randy Wright era? Or
I'm not quite
Ferragamo
that
era?
I don't remember. I never saw another quarterback but Brett Favre and now Aaron Rodgers start a game anyway.
Wow.
Thankfully, it wasn't Matt Flynn last weekend, but it still didn't seem to matter.
Right.
You didn't live until you saw some of those. Good Lord.
John, I can't believe he just invoked Ferragamo. Holy cow. That's a name from the past.
That was a big acquisition.
That it was.
The savior quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was.
Those were the days.
I do have a question for you guys.
Shoot.
We're going this weekend. We're going to be there on Saturday, and we're going to be there on Sunday. We're going to be, you know, walking around, just kind of absorbing the experience. I made up this T-shirt that says Vicarious with the V in the Vikings and the C, like a G for Green Bay. I'm wondering if I will get my butt kicked if I wear that shirt around, since I'll have neither since I'll have neither side supporting me. I'll be kind of on an island by myself.
Oh, that's brave.
To tell you a short answer, yes.
I do want you guys to also know that I once wore a Cheesehead face paint, Brett Favre jersey, Packers shorts, and everything to a Vikings-Titans game in Minnesota one time. So, you know, that's just kind of
redemption.
My personality, I guess.
Well, I mean, I've only been to Lambeau twice myself, and you know, that was one of the things that struck me was how polite everybody was to the opposing team's fans. It's certainly not like that in New Jersey or New York. So I think you'll be fine, but I'll let the folks who live in Green Bay in that area answer that question for you.
Yeah. I've actually heard that too, that they're very polite as far as the tailgate and everything goes.
In
the stadium might be a different story, and you know, hopefully for my safety, the Packers win, because then I really might be in for some trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I went there for a Bears game, and I was really surprised, you know, at all the tailgates. You had people in Packers jerseys and Bears jerseys, you know, drinking together and joking, and I was like, wow, this is different. I'm not used to this.
I think Packer fans are just passionate, and I think they appreciate passionate fans. So, I mean, if someone comes up as a Vikings fan, there's always that initial, but they appreciate other fans that are just as passionate. Do they appreciate jerks? No. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, we understand what it's like to be very much all about our team and our players and living and dying on every down. And you meet someone from another team who's the same way. Yeah, I mean, we're kind of all in that same fandom boat, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been pretty fortunate as far as I've been able to go to three games at Lambeau, but when I went to the games in Minneapolis, like I saw a Packers Monday night game in Minneapolis, and I think at that time I was like only 12 years old, and their fans, like, I had to go to the bathroom, and their fans, like, at least the ones that I ran into, wouldn't even let me go to the bathroom because I was wearing a Brett Favre jersey. So, and that's when I was 12, so I had to go to a different one, you know. But for whatever reason, you know, I'm 12 years old, and they're not even letting me go to the bathroom. It's just insane.
Awesomeness. Well, listen, the phone lines are open here. We got John here. We got Al here. We got Holly here. We got the Bitter Border Battle Boys, Nathan and Austin here. So the phone number to call in is 917-932-8401, and we would love to hear your thoughts on the upcoming game. And some of you guys are going to stick with us the rest of the show here?
I can stick around for a little bit. I'm actually at my younger brother's football game, so I might have to dip out after too long, but
okay.
I can be around for
no problem.
Time.
Excellent. Well, I guess let's just open some stuff up for discussion here. How critical is this game for the Packers? I mean, they're, 1-3 over the last four games? Really, the Super Bowl or die is going to, the Vikings look vulnerable, they look weak, they look tired. If they lose this game, they come out with a losing record, and both Minnesota and the Bears are technically ahead of them in the standings. Is this the do-or-die game of the season?
I'll jump in first. I think not only is it the do-or-die game of the season, I think this could be the game that determines McCarthy's future. I just wrote about this today. I refuse to believe that up above in the offices at 1265, they do not want to see him win another game at Lambeau. They want to dispel the specter of Favre forever. You figure he came in as a winner, and they do not want him to walk away as a winner in purple. I'm not saying that it's the most important game in the history of the franchise, but I think to eliminate the specter of Favre forever, to say we beat him at Lambeau, I think it is crucial that they win. I would even go so far to say that even if they, let's say they go to the playoffs, let's say they win a game, if they lose today, or I'm sorry, on Sunday, could that determine McCarthy's future? I don't know. I think it does.
I think it's critical, but not for those reasons. I think it's critical to save their season. I mean, you've got the Jets coming up next. And personally, I don't believe that the Packers are beating the Jets in New Jersey. So, whoops, what do we have going on?
That's a football game.
Football game, I guess. Okay. So in any case, I think, you know, if they don't win this game, you know, they're looking at 3-5, I think. And at that point, with still the Vikings again, the Cowboys, the Patriots to play, it looks pretty grim. So I think this is a critical game to get the season back on the right track. And if they blow this game, I think they're in big trouble.
I'd like to add to that that not only is it big for like Mike McCarthy's future, but think about this has got to be the biggest game in Aaron Rodgers' career because you know he wants to get that monkey off his back to beat Brett Favre, and this is probably his best chance to do it this year. Not only that, he's struggled more than a lot thought he would this year, so I think it's big for him, even confidence-wise, to get this victory so he can kind of lead this team to something later on this season.
Yeah, I think this is a psychological, you know, battle more than even a physical battle. It's whoever wins this game, you know, is going to have momentum and the win is going to mean more to the players. And frankly, I worry about the morale in the locker room if the Packers don't come out on top on Sunday.
Yeah, touching on that, I honestly believe whoever wins this game is going to win the division. And, you know, I think it means that much. I really do.
Do you really think that both the Packers, I mean, the Bears are completely out of it? They really don't have a shot?
I mean, they're playing a lot better than I ever thought they would be. But at the same time, you know, the Lions game, they've gotten off the hook easily in a few games. You know, in that game to Seattle, they just didn't look good there at all. So, but I honestly think that whoever wins this game, it's going to give that team that much momentum, that, you know, fire them up that much, that team will win the division.
I actually had the Bears for 10 wins this year and got laughed off my own radio show for it, but I don't know, they've done all right so far, but I don't know how real they are. Well, that's yet to be seen.
Can I jump in with some Bears insight? Dear Lord.
Sure.
Okay. So, when they beat us, Lovie Smith was coach of the year. Now they want him fired. I'm telling you. Smoke and mirrors is how they are in first place right now. They absolutely suck. I mean, I don't want to I don't want to turn this into like a Bears talk, but is Cutler going to make it through the season? No, he's going to get killed.
I was looking at the sack stats, and I was trying to see how he compared to last year. Aaron Rodgers was comparing to last year, and I did notice that Jay Cutler, I believe, is leading the league right now in sacks, and you're not going to hold up very long with that.
I believe he has 27 so far.
Wow.
Ooh.
I would have to check that, but I'm pretty sure that's what they said on the radio today. 27 sacks in, what, six games?
It was 20-something when I looked. I don't know.
Well, the Giants are responsible for a third of those.
Yes.
You aren't getting there.
That was great.
Was that awesome or what?
That was fantastic.
Well, I think another topic, by the way, if you want to call in, feel free to chime in on anything we're talking about, 917-932-8401. It has to be a little bit of talk right now about Aaron Rodgers, and he's coming under the gun again, and we just talked about it a little bit. Clutch player. You know, I can't remember who said that on Twitter as we were going into overtime, and they said, well, time for clutch one and clutch two, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Mason Crosby. Is Aaron Rodgers, can he do this in the clutch? Is he going to be a clutch quarterback?
I mean, last year against Minnesota, in Minnesota, he played from behind, and he, you know, he got in that situation where they were on a drive, and he had a chance to go down the field and score a go-ahead touchdown, and he just couldn't do it. You know, and you got to think that he's going to break through at some point. And I don't see a reason for that not to happen here this week. You know, maybe it just takes a critical amount of pressure. Who knows? But he certainly hasn't shown it yet this season.
Yeah, and yeah. Holly, I don't think his coach is helping him very much personally. You know,
that's true.
A supposed quarterback genius, I don't think he's making Aaron Rodgers' job any easier, but with the way he calls a game. So it's right now Rodgers is in a quandary. He doesn't know whether it's him playing poorly or what's going on. I think he just is a little confused.
Well, then take the page out of Favre's book. You go and you look at the Viking-Bears game last year down in Soldier Field in the first half where Brad Childress was clearly calling the plays. The Vikings were getting torched. Their offense looked awful. And then in the second half, Brett Favre just called audibles the whole time. He took over the playbook, and he said, I know what's going to work. And he took care of business, and they got right back in the game. I think he scored 30 points in the second half. That was an amazing turnaround. If Rodgers thinks that the play calling is a problem, hell, you may take some, you know, shots on the sideline, but if you're going to put up points and you think you can, then do it.
I don't know if Rodgers has that kind of autonomy, you know, to do that like Favre did.
Favre has seen a lot more over the years, too, I hate to tell you.
I know. I'm just...
And Holly, please...
play calling.
Holly, please don't ever say Aaron Rodgers should take a page out of Brett Favre's book again. It just hit me wrong. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. He's already thrown enough interceptions this year, so no, he's...
Not that page.
Yeah, definitely. I think Rodgers really, if you look at what he's excellent at, he's excellent when he has time in the pocket. He's excellent with his feet. He has never been great. He was very good last year. He's not as good this year with his pressure awareness and dealing with that pressure. And you can see every now and then that little bit of indecision, especially when you have someone, you know, coming right at him like he did quite a bit with the Dolphins. Going back to those getting out of that shotgun, going under center, taking those three-step drops, you know, good little timing patterns, getting that rhythm going, that's what he does well. And I don't know if he... You kind of go back to that whole Jermichael, put me in the shotgun, let me pass more. I don't know if he has that in his head right now to say, this is the best thing for the team. McCarthy has to kind of rein him in and say, this is the best thing for the team.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think we lost. Did we lose Nathan? Might have. I think he had to leave.
Very possible.
Yeah. So, Brett Favre returning to Lambeau Field. Much different scenario this year than last year. What's your thoughts? Is this going to be an embarrassment for him or an embarrassment for us? Do you think he's going to have his head about him like he did last year? I mean, it was surreal last year how he came in with all of the drama and all of the booing and still just managed to tear the Packers apart. Are you sensing anything that he might be able to get up for like that again, or is this just going to be an embarrassment for him?
To me, honestly, I just don't feel that same thing, or I don't think that even the Vikings feel that same thing that they were feeling last year. You know, they're not that same team. That excitement doesn't feel like it's there with that team. I mean, I just can't see him coming in and doing what he did to us last year, but it is Brett Favre, and this is his favorite place to play, you know, and he wants to look good, so it is a Sunday night game. You know, you never take the prime time out of it, but I don't know. I'm hopeful. I'm hoping that we at least get to him once or twice this time. I mean, we didn't even get a sack on him last year. I hope we get him flustered early.
I think he's coming out throwing. I think last week, with his 19 attempts or whatever it was, he's coming out throwing. Yeah, I think he wants to stick it one more time.
Do you think it's enough, though? I mean, do you think that whatever, hatred of Ted Thompson, hatred of the Packers, how he's treated, do you think that's enough for him to get over this whole mental, physical cloud he seemed to be playing in this year?
I say you never count Brett Favre out, no matter what's going on with him. He's played under a lot of really difficult circumstances throughout his career. You never count the guy out. I mean, if you watch that the game against the Jets, you thought that they were dead and done. You thought that Favre was going to leave the game and never come back. Next thing you know, what's going on? He's throwing touchdown passes, and they're making a game out of it. You never count the guy out. So he still scares the hell out of me.
I don't think this is, you know, Crockgate is the same thing as his father dying. But I think he needs a redemption game to kind of take the focus away from his off-field nonsense and show why he came back and all that BS from the off-season.
All right. Anyone else want to chime in on Brett Favre? Also, anyone out there listening? 917-932-8405. Free swag points to anyone who calls in and offers their opinion today. Where do you guys see the key matchup? Is it the Minnesota offensive line? Is it the pass game? Where do you guys see the where you think this game is going to be tilted?
Brian McKinney. Yeah, I think that's it. He is such a high and low player on that offensive line. If he has an off game, I think we get to Brett Favre and I think we take the rhythm out of that offense. But if he's stout and sets his edge, I don't know if we get past him.
Haven't the Packers in the past kind of made him look a lot better than he is?
I'll agree with
that's
that.
What I worry about is in games against the Packers, he always seems to handle everything just fine.
I think, like everything else, I think that Brett Favre overshadows so much else in the game. And, you know, as Packer fans for years, we were guilty of it when he was in green and gold. But I think the key, for me at least, is going to be after watching the Dolphin running backs just run through us. I think we're not going to be thinking about a whole lot, but I think Adrian Peterson is going to be, especially if Ryan Pickett is not playing, not 100%, Mike Neal's not there to sub in. If they start playing a ball control game and they start smashing Adrian Peterson through and he starts picking up 7, 8, 9, 10 yards a carry, and then all of a sudden Brett Favre can go back and start hitting a couple misdirection play, you know, misdirection passes, it's going to be a long day. The Packers have to play stout against the run, period.
Yeah.
I agree.
We don't have the rotation depth at all.
No. And I suppose when you move to the 3-4, that was kind of the idea. Well, we don't have a lot of defensive linemen, so let's go to the 3-4. We don't need as many, but we're still running short. And you can never have too many defensive linemen.
We got Mike Montgomery back. That right there should put us
That's
over.
Exciting.
Thank God.
Mike Montgomery.
Perhaps
please.
Corey Williams will be coming back soon, too. I don't know.
Hey, Corey Williams is playing well.
Yeah.
Ted. Mike Montgomery.
I said he's awesome and he's bad in 09 on rookie mode. I mean, he's a beast.
Yeah, he is. Especially do the workouts with him in the off season. That's really helps out there. Well, let's get down to our predictions. Green Bay Packers at home versus the Vikings.
Cheesehead Radio. Packer game predictions.
What do you say, guys? Let's go around the horn. Feel free to explain your thought process on the way. Let's start with Holly Phelps.
Well, I was 1 point off in last week's game against Miami. One. I had called it 24-20 Miami. But this week, I do think that the Packers pull it out. I think that there's a go-ahead touchdown. I just think that the offense pulls it together. I see 27-24 outcome.
All right. John Rahor.
Well, since I'm 0-2 the last 2 weeks and tonight, I want to say that they're going to win by a lot, but I'm not going to. However, I am going to pick them to win. I think that this is the game where somehow, you know, Coach McCarthy gets it together for 60 minutes. The offense comes together. The defense, you know, I have no issue with the defense right now. They're keeping the team in every game. And I think it's going to be high scoring. I think that everybody is going to just air it out. I think that Peterson's going to run. Maybe Brandon Jackson will run. Who knows? I'm going to go 35-27 Packers.
Okay.
Ooh.
I'm not sure who's with us from the Bitter Border. Is that Austin or Nathan that's still with us?
It's Austin.
Austin.
I'm going to have to go with, I got to take Green Bay too, but I'm going to have to say 24-20 game, and, you know, we pull ahead at the end. We get the go-ahead touchdown to win. Yeah, I can still see both offenses struggling throughout that, you know, with the defense, but I don't want to say it's going to be too low scoring, but a good 24-20 victory for us. And our season turns around, we start winning more.
I hope you're right. Jersey Al.
Well, I'm going to agree with Holly's score, 27-24, but alas, I'm going to pick the Vikings. It pains me to do it, but I may be the last person on the planet, but Brett Favre still scares the hell out of me. I still think that if we don't get to him, and I'm not convinced that we will with just Clay Matthews and not much help from there, that he'll just sit back there and pick the team apart like he did last year. You know, I'm banking on a Mason Crosby miss late that would have tied the game, and the Vikings win 27-24. Sorry.
In overtime?
Sorry to everybody.
In overtime?
In overtime or regulation?
No overtime. Regular game. Regular time.
All right.
Al, two.
Well.
CD, cheers up.
I was not too far off on the game last week, too. I think I said 21-20 for Miami to win last week. This week, I think personally it's going to be a great game because I think both these teams are going to come in. Basically, this is going to be both teams' Super Bowl in kind of a pathetic way. You know, it's more kind of a Super Bowl to get yourself out of a funk that you've been in for since the beginning of the season. I think it's going to be touch and go. I think there is going to be a point in this game where the Packers are going to be behind and they are going to be starting to look hopeless. And I think it's going to come down to a very big play one way or the other. I'm going to put my money on Charles Woodson to just do something that's going to stand out, whether it be an interception of Favre or just a fumble recovery that's just going to turn it around. I can see the Vikings up 17-14 at half, and I can see it turning out to be 28-20 Packers at the end or so. I didn't actually do the math there, but I'm going to say 28-20 Packers.
Wow. All right, well, that will do it for us this week. We are back next week on Thursday night right here at Blog Talk Radio at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. If you can't listen because you're not at a computer, well, when the show is live, you can call in 917-932-8401 and listen over your phone speaker. If you miss the live radio show, you can listen on your iPod. Cheeseheads Radio is available on iTunes. Or you can also stream our latest podcast over any mobile device on Stitcher. Don't miss Packer Transplant's live blogcast next Tuesday at 8 o'clock over at Cheesehead TV. We went another week without any callers, but thanks so much to our special guests, Austin and Nathan, the Bitter Border Battle Boys. It was great to have you come on and talk about the Packers-Vikings game that's coming up. Guys, it's been another good show.
Bye, Curious.
Bye, Curious, indeed.
Yeah, actually, with that, I before our last radio show, we weren't able to do one this week, unfortunately, but I had asked Nathan, I said, well, since you're not a Packers fan anymore and you're a Vikings queen, or a Vikings fan, does that make you Vicurious? And he kind of ran with it. Made a shirt and everything, so pretty good time.
If you happen to be in Green Bay this weekend, if I'm correct, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, Greg Bedard will be doing his final tweet-up as a Packer beat writer. He'll be in De Pere at the Abbey, I want to say 8 o'clock. Does that sound right?
Just get there.
Yeah, around there. You know? He'll be there. Trust me, he'll be talking.
All right, so that's at De Pere at the Abbey?
At the Abbey in De Pere. Tweet up, the last tweet up with Greg Bedard. I'm planning on being there, looking forward to seeing Greg and wishing him well on his trip out to the not so great team that he has to cover. From this point on,
if you get a chance to go to the tweet up, do. He holds court. It's really great to get a chance to talk to him, you know, especially because he's leaving. There is nothing that's off limits. Ask him anything.
You and I'm sure especially this one, it's going to be really pretty candid, I have a feeling.
So, is that Saturday night then? Is that one that is?
Saturday night, keep here at the Abbey.
All right.
Sometime around 8-ish or 9-ish or something. All right. Well, thank you very much, guys. Another great show. We will be back next week to celebrate a Packer victory over Brett Favre and the Vikings. We will see you then. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
guys.
Bye.